Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Realms of peril and glory.
From one-shots to campaigns.
Indie games to established titles.
Join Liz.
Laura.
Zach.
James.
Maddie.
Naomi.
And Pip.
I rolled a natural 20!
Yes!
And a rotating cast of incredible guests.
Hello, I'm Gron Howitt.
Jasper William Cartwright.
Shamini Bundell.
Nathan Blades.
As we weave thrilling new stories with gorgeous sound design and beautiful original music.
Search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Venture Extinctions episode 7. 7 of 9.
Like the Star Trek lady. Yeah. I've never seen that Star Trek series that she's in.
Right.
But she's like a lady with a thing on her face. What's her deal?
She was a Borg. You know the Borg, right?
How do you stop being a Borg?
Well, that's why she's still got bits on her face, because they've sort of, you know, deconverted her from a Borg back to a, you know, non-Borg.
Wait, you have to be converted into a Borg. Are there any natural Borgs?
Do you know nothing about the Borg mythology?
So the only Star Trek...
This is now a Star Trek podcast, so buckle up, everybody.
The only Star Treks I really watched were the original season that had no Borgs. I watched like a lot of The Next Generation, but I think I must have missed all the Borg episodes.
You must have. Those were the most scary and terrifying when you're a tiny child, so you probably did well to avoid them.
Well, so who was the first Borg?
I don't know who the first...
How do they start Borging?
Who was the first Borg? Don't let me down, Star Trek Internet.
It's going to be too
complicated. Borg history.
Oh, no.
On the Memory Alpha fan wiki.
No.
Origin. Here we go, Origin. Oh, I can hear everyone just stopping the podcast. The origin of the Borg is vague, says the fan wiki. There we go. That's all we need to know.
So one day, but a guy called Dave like taped a toaster to his face, and he was like, "Oh, this is good.
Welcome to the Borg.
I want everyone to have toasters on their face." And then it was sort of snowballed from there, I guess.
Yeah, let's be a hive mind. Let's share all our knowledge and experience, and take it from there.
So
anyway,
this lady did have a toaster on her face, but she took it off, and now she's called Seven of Nine.
Mostly took it off.
Right. Now she left on a little aesthetic bit. For fun.
Okay. I'm so glad I could be here for your education in Star Trek.
I'm gonna watch some Borg episodes.
Fine.
Set this straight.
They're creepy. Anyway, contrary to appearances, this is a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Welcome to it.
Hi.
Welcome to the Oxventure D&D podcast. It's a podcast where we listen to episodes of Oxventure D&D and then we talk about them. It's a critical hit to your brain itself. And I'm Jane. I play Prudence the Tiefling Warlock.
And I'm Andy, and you will be assimilated.
You got it. Andy knows.
I know. Cultural osmosis.
This week we're listening to Cursed Case Scenario. I have to enunciate that. There's a lot of hard C sounds.
Cursed case. You could say it like cursed. Cursed.
Yeah.
Cursed Case Scenario.
What Andy said. And it is, as previously mentioned, episode 7 of 9 in
seven
the Oxventure
like the Star Trek
Extinction
lady.
Season that just recently finished over at youtube.com/Oxventure. So if you'd like to see, you know, what we're talking about with visuals, people, then do go over to youtube.com/Oxventure. But first of all, Andy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Jane?
I'm good, yeah. I'm enjoying the facial hair I can see on you rather than me in this Zoom call.
So I've grown a old-timey Old West mustache for Deadlands.
And soul patch.
Well,
it's a combo.
Yeah, does this count as sort of part of the mustache style? Because it's not really a beard. It's just a little triangle of hair under my lip.
I mean, that's the final point.
It's not connected to the mustache.
Hair, I don't know. It's an accessory to the mustache.
When does it become a beard? Does it have to encroach onto the lower jaw?
Maybe.
To be categorised. If there were like a sort of slight connecting line of hair from the mustache round to it, would it be
I think anything above your lip is a mustache. Anything below your lip is a beard.
That seems like that seems like a fair delineation.
Hard line.
Okay, yeah. I've got the smallest, rubbishest beard.
And a big full mustache, yeah. Mm. And this was for Deadlands, which we have just recently recorded the first episode of.
Yes.
We're going to get a few episodes in before we start publishing them, mm-hmm. but over at youtube.com/oxventure. But it went very well, Andy. You did a very good job.
Thank you very much.
And I think the mustache probably helped.
The mustache did probably help. The problem is now we're not recording our second episode for a while now. We've got some other stuff coming up. So I either have to not have a mustache in the next one, or I need to retain this facial hair in my daily life, which is hard. Because
you've got work calls. You've got meetings.
I've got meetings. I've got calls.
You've got to be seen.
I've got to be seen out and about. I've got to record list videos.
Can you say it's a kind of belated Movember or something?
Yeah, but if it were Movember, I wouldn't have this rubbish soul patch, would I?
Are you not allowed a soul patch in Movember?
I think, it's not soul patch ember, is it?
I guess Solvember. Not, yeah.
The thing is, right, it's a, if you're having trouble imagining this facial hair combination, imagine what Timothy Oliphant has in Deadwood.
Okay,
it's a mustache and a sort of pointy soul patch thing. And it looks fine if you're wearing a sort of a brimmed hat and a shirt. And, if you're dressed up a bit, it looks normal. If you're wearing a T-shirt and a baseball cap, like I currently am, it doesn't really go with that combination. It's not really a very modern look, and it sort of clashes.
What you're describing is how you have to dress up more.
That's true.
To be working in a full cowboy hat and
I guess
collared shirt.
I probably am now.
There's no other way.
There's no other way. Yeah.
There's no other way. Or shave it all off, but use it to construct a kind of facial wig.
Right. So stick it all to a bit of sticky back plastic,
or like a piece of lace, like a lace front wig.
And then I can
construct a little face wig.
Pop it on and off at will.
Yeah,
I think if that were possible, surely Timothy Oliphant would have done it when he filmed Deadwood.
How do you know he didn't?
As I've seen pictures of him at the rap party, and he still got it.
Well, maybe he was still wearing the face wig.
Or maybe he just liked it so much. Yeah.
Why are you looking up photos of Timothy Oliphant at rap parties?
Why do you think? So I can style
yourself.
My mustache in the same way.
Okay, fine.
I'm not going to the barbers to get this done. I'm having to do it myself in my bathroom mirror.
Okay.
But apparently it was contractually written into his Deadwood contract that his mustache had to be a certain length by a certain time for filming, or else, he was in trouble.
Well, they didn't have the CG Superman technology in the day to put a CG mustache on.
That's
his
just
face.
For removing mustaches. That's not for adding mustaches.
Oh, you're right. No, it's very easy to remove a mustache, as we've seen.
Well, as we've seen from the flawless results in the movie.
Yeah.
It's extremely easy.
I bet it's actually the other way around. It's really easy to put a CG mustache on someone, but incredibly hard to take it off.
I've seen about 300 TikTok filters that do exactly that.
See, if TikTok had only been around when they were filming Deadwood.
Hey, this is a good point. Why can't we just use a TikTok filter while we're filming Deadlands?
Deadlands.
I wouldn't have to have this magnificent horseshoe on my face.
You can have a little cat face and play a cat woman.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Okay. What else have we been up to? It has felt like this week has gone incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
We put the last episode of the podcast out on Saturday rather than Friday.
Yeah.
Because of MCM Comic Con in London, which kept us busy through most of the weekend. And then Monday was yet another bank holiday here
in the UK. Believe it.
If you can believe it. So this week has felt quite short.
Yeah, extremely short. MCM Comic Con obviously occupied most of my time last weekend. It was a very good time. Had a good time at the...
It was lovely to see you there, if you were there.
Yeah.
We had a really nice time doing a meet and greet and hearing your anecdotes and such.
Yeah, lovely to meet everyone who came up to say hi. That was great. I did a bit of shopping, as I often do at MCM, which was great. I bought a DM screen for Deadlands. Which was really
costly,
good.
Costly, fine and costly DM screen.
Oh, it's made out of extremely good wood. It's very well made,
yeah,
handmade.
From haunted trees.
Got a carved raven on it. It's great.
I went for a swim after MCM Comic Con just to...
Wait, in the river outside the...
Yeah.
Outside
the
convention center. Yeah.
No, yeah,
shouldn't really swim in that water.
I went for a lovely swim in a local outdoor pool and it was great. Got some exercise, got some sunshine.
Nice. Outdoor swimming.
Outdoor swimming. It is that time. It's June. Welcome
baffling,
to June, everybody.
Baffling concept.
Yeah. Yeah, it was lovely. There's a really nice like public swimming pool near me. So
cool.
I had a splendid time, which, I mean, it doesn't lead to very many like anecdotes because I basically swam up and down a big pool for an hour and then I got out and that was that. I did it.
So nice.
It's not like a water park, you know. There's not a good story about how I nearly drowned coming off a flume or something.
Mm, have you ever nearly drowned coming off a flume in a water park?
I mean, if you haven't nearly drowned coming off a flume, did you even go to a water park?
Yeah.
Is what I say. That's part of the thrill of water parks.
You and I went to a water park in Florida once. And there's a thing where they weigh your group before you get in this. You get in a ring and you go down a flume. And they weigh you to make sure you're not overweight
There's a certain weight limit because you're going to get in a boat. Like, yeah, an inflatable.
And if it's too heavy, you might get too much momentum and go flying off the edge. And
if you're lucky.
So we did that and our group was like given the okay to go and down the flume. And we got on, did it. And it was, you know, pretty fast and furious, but we stayed on the flume. We got to the bottom. And then two other members of our group were like, we kind of like stepped partially off the scale so that they'd let us go on. Because we
all wanted to ride together.
We all wanted to ride together. We
ride
were probably actually
together.
Quite considerably over the recommended weight for this flume. So we could have just died.
But we lived.
But we actually lived.
We lived.
We lived instead. And we lived right on the edge. You know.
Reader, we lived. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the only way to live. If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. That's what I say.
Yeah. If you're not flying off the edge of
a flume in Orlando.
You're taking up too much space.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but imagine if we had all flown off the side of that water slide.
I mean, that would be hard to explain.
Died in a huge crunched up bone heap.
Yeah. I don't know.
And
I think
who would be to blame?
Yeah, but I think it would be quite funny. It'd be like funny course.
They would
of
weigh
death.
our crunched up bone heap and say
these bones weigh more than it should have been.
They shouldn't have been allowed on the
flat
slide.
Well, that just means that
altogether.
Our grieving relatives wouldn't be able to sue the water park.
Oh, well, let's count ourselves lucky that went as well as it possibly could have.
Yeah, exactly. We got an even more exciting flume ride and nobody died. So
thank goodness for easily evaded safety and security measures.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Yeah. Oh, memories. Okay. I think we should listen to this episode of D&D, which is...
Yeah, why not?
Cursed case scenario.
Cursed.
It is a cursed case scenario. It is the... first of two quite curse-heavy episodes in which we go and see about Corazon's...
Go and see about that pesky curse.
Immortality and such. Corazon's not immortal, though, is he?
No.
He's not cursed.
He's not cursed, yeah.
Because he
ran off. He ran off, yeah.
Okay.
He left all his mates to get cursed.
Yes.
That's just the kind of guy he is.
Do you want to... In fact, since we're here and it's been a while, can you just outline the rules of the curse?
The pirates who stayed behind in the cave, who didn't run off like Corazon, they are functionally immortal, but when they die, they can be killed, but they come back to life after 2 years. They sort of are very gradually rebuilt in a sort of like cool 3D printer of flesh kind of way. And it's a sort of perpetual undeath. It's not pleasant. That's why they want to lift the curse. Unfortunately, Corazon did like nick a load of the gold when he left. And the gold needs to be returned before these pirates' curse can be lifted. So Corazon's thing before he joined the Oxventurers was he's trying to round up all these coins that he profligately spent without realising.
There we go. That's the backstory of Corazon's curse. Now you're prepared fully to listen to Curse Case Scenario. Have a listen and don't go away because we'll have things to say afterwards.
So you're all standing on the deck of the Joyful Damnation, getting ready to ship out, as it were, to the curse hole. I'm going to say you've had a long rest.
Hey!
Because, look, I don't want to insinuate that anybody here is dragging their feet about setting off for the curse hole. I wouldn't want to put it into your heads that anyone is definitely...
Egbert's still asleep.
These sails are entirely the wrong colour for travelling. We're going to have to get rid of them. I start to pull down all the sails.
Oh, why are you doing that? Says Hamadal, whose head is clearly pounding.
Well, we can't be seen on the high seas with last season's sails, I say. It'll never do. We were the laughing stock.
What colour should they?
I get everything in
they
last
be?
Season sales.
rich purple.
That's pretty good.
That was actually pretty good. You can have inspiration for that one. Say it right out the gate.
Say again.
It's a good pun. It's a good pun.
It's solid.
Seaworthy.
Mm. Hey.
What colour do they have to be, Corazon?
I don't know. I've lost track of this bit now.
I pressed it. Did you? No, wait. That I can't do press digitation for anything.
I prefer the January sales.
Oh. Well, don't no. push your luck.
Yeah.
Stop.
I'll stop.
Can I just quickly scamper up the mainmast and paint a snazzy pattern on the sails?
Absolutely. What kind of snazzy pattern are you going to paint on there?
What does Dob think is snazzy?
Tie
dye.
Yeah.
We're going to need bleach. Yeah. Stonewash. It's stonewash. Stonewash sails. Yes.
Dex acrobatics check, please.
Okay.
I'm kind of picturing you like swinging across the deck, kind of
with a
like
throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Jackson Pollock.
Exactly. That's how he used to operate.
Eight.
Yeah. Okay.
It actually looks good.
Yeah, of course it looks good, but it's stonewash.
Right.
Okay. It's a timeless
you
style.
Everyone on deck, make me a dex saving throw, please.
Oh no.
Okay. Am I using real stones?
Oh no.
Are you looking to beat a 15?
13.
I
failed to beat it also.
9.
7.
Okay. And Hammerdahl rolls a 5. You stonewash the entire crew.
No! Oh.
Everyone is stonewashed now.
Cool. Oh, my warlock robes.
Yep.
All right.
Is it Canadian tuxedo?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm
wearing double denim for your curse all the time. This is good.
We're going to have to put the ship into dry dock for several months, I'm afraid. To run the repairs.
Corazon, it's like you don't want to go to the curse hole.
Why don't you
want
to go to the curse hole?
Be honest.
It's bad in there. I don't know if I've explained this.
It's a whole full of curse.
It's a horrible curse hole.
What could be wrong with that?
There's all sorts of traps and monsters. There's horrible things.
Are we going to the curse hole?
Yeah,
I've been imagining
it's a cursed hole.
A hole.
Yeah, it's cursed.
So We don't have to go in the hole, do we? We just have to, like, I don't know, throw something in it, like a
we can pour boiling water into it, and then
like an ant's nest.
Like an ant's nest. Yeah.
No, it's like it's an aquatic cave, but to get to the cave, you have to traverse the many trials of the curse hole.
Oh, I don't like the sound of. You should have told us that.
Yeah. I did. Several times.
Well, I was up in the rigging.
I remember
anyone
was listening to Corazon.
And you were like, oh, last season's sales.
So wait, it's a cave.
Corazon.
It's a cave.
Yes.
Is it underwater?
It's not underwater.
It's not underwater.
Well then,
okay.
Just near some water.
It's near water.
You got to park up. You got to traverse stuff.
We traverse stuff all
traps,
the time.
Horrible traps.
We're always navigating terrain.
It's fine.
Simply you just disarm them.
And then at the end of it, you get cursed.
Well, yeah, but that's not going to happen. What we're cursing is a giraffe and all the animals of the forest.
Well, I'm going to. I suppose I'll get cursed. So
oh, that's right.
I've
got the Hammerdahl
custodian. I'm going to scoop up lots of them, and then I'm just going to sort of give them out to my creatures so they don't die.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
It's going to be the immortal custodian of the reserve.
It's going to be great. I'm going to curse Denise. Who will work as my assistant for all time also.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Why? Surely, with an eternity of scathing performance reviews, I can get her to be a satisfactory employee for once.
That always works.
I owe it to her. I think.
Someone help me make this ship go. I'm bored.
Prudence,
I start pulling on ropes.
Make me a wisdom perception check, please.
Oh, okay.
So you're all going to go to this curse hole, whether I come with you or not. What you're
sounds like a plan.
Well, we need you,
Corazon.
That is a mere 5 of your dice points.
Okay, you notice nothing.
Nothing is
wrong. For a few seconds, you just phase out entirely.
That's good. Okay, cool. I'm just randomly pulling on ropes and tugging on things.
Yeah,
Corazon.
That's the rope for the dinner bell.
We all understand your reluctance. The curse all sounds scary, and of course, it was a place where something really bad happened to you and your crew.
I swing through the back of shot on another.
Corazon's eyes drift to that, and I'm like, no, Corazon, here. But like, think of panniers and all that. Do it. This is something that's you want to lift the curse off of them, don't you?
Yeah.
So where are we gonna go?
The curse hole.
Yay! The curse hole.
But we really do need to get rid of all this stonewash. Because if any of the other pirates see me out at sea.
Oh, yeah.
Can you prestidigitate some?
It doesn't come out.
Can you prestidigitate again?
It only goes more in. I didn't do prestidigitation, I did stonewash it. An artisanal craft.
Stonewash is like an eighth level spell.
Stone or black again?
Stone wish.
Don't. I used my wish spell.
All black.
Power word, stone.
Squid ink. Can we have some squid ink? And just
some squid ink on the sails.
Oh, black sails.
That's so cool.
Yeah?
Do you want to just express some ink onto these sails?
Okay, yeah, I turn into a giant octopus and I sort of like climb up onto the sails and I just go in the middle of them.
Okay, that horny crew member NPC who I've forgotten the name of kind of like sticks his head out the hatch to watch. He's just like... Then he goes back in.
Just
you remember that guy?
Just keep.
I thought we established that we were like.
I slide a barrel over the hatch.
Then forget I said anything.
Yeah, I think we'd established a friend zone there. We both friend zoned each other.
Yeah, he's outside the friend zone, looking in. Anyway.
That would be a more useful spell.
Sorry, you're turning all the sails black?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you altering the garb of your crewmates as well?
Yeah, if I can get some of that ink.
So we're all in black?
Black, yeah.
Cool. Double denim in black is easier to pull off than like a proper canadian.
I'm not wearing denim. I've never worn denim.
Oh, okay, fair.
Well, I mean, the spell is a very powerful spell.
It's hard wearing and comfortable, so maybe get on board.
All right, fine. I'm doing all the things that make the boat go.
Okay, right. The boat starts to go. Corazon, you sort of watching the compass next to you in the binnacle, kind of like turning the ship's wheel. You know when you do something solely by muscle memory, and normally it's satisfying when you're like, "Wow, my movements are so like precise and conserved, and I feel like I feel like I'm so cool, like I'm so well practiced at this." All you feel is like dread, like your hands remember. You almost don't need to look at the set of the sails or the position of the sun or the compass or anything.
It's like the opposite of muscle memory in that I'm actively working against the instinct to steer towards the cursor.
Exactly. But these old sea hands know which way is the curse hole. You even feel like a slight like thrumming in your chest. Mm. You're not sure whether that's just sort of adrenaline building up behind your sternum or whether it's the coin that you keep around your neck. Soon enough, the Joyful Damnation starts to kind of like, poof, like starts to sort of peak and trough with the waves and make steady headway. And as you go, you hear a mournful note cry out from the ocean, sort of like a...
Oh, good. Anya's is here.
Followed by a... And like... It's amazing the kind of things you get used to in the life of an adventurer. You sort of just watch an immortal pirate creature just kind of like poof come out of the blowhole of a whale and sort of you know what, let's see if he makes it. Tries to grab hold of a line and that's another 5. Is this die cursed? He misses the line and just panniers just like crumps into the deck. In fact, I'm going to say he lands on one of the hatches. So when he comes up, it's like he's been sleeping on a waffle jumper. But they're really big.
Oh.
Like he's got like indentations like in a nice like grid pattern. He goes,
Panniers!
Oh, hello!
Guess who's gonna die? At last!
Finally!
Is that how it works?
Once the curse is transferred, right?
Well, it won't kill me.
But next time,
yeah, but you'll die. You'll probably die next time you do that.
Yeah. That would have been, life ending injury. Yeah.
You're gonna have to be more careful.
The new skin's looking good. I shout.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it took a while to regrow.
Nice regrow job.
Thanks. I only just finished it. In fact, I was going to wait for a little while longer before coming and finding you, Corazon. But well, I've been uneasy of late. I've not been sleeping well.
Is it because you sleep inside a whale?
Well, no. Have you ever slept inside a whale? You sleep like a baby.
Oh, right. Wow, it must be bad then. I mean, it must be bad if you're not sleeping like a
Whatever.
You sleep like a baby that sleeps well.
Right.
No regressions here.
Right.
Only soft walls.
Right, no waking up every 2 hours screaming then.
No.
Right, got it.
Just the occasional wash of krill over ye. But soon enough it becomes soothing. But, Corazon, you've been handling that there coin around your neck an unusual amount lately.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like you can't sleep, which keeps me up, you know.
Mm.
You know they
like
call
a literal baby, waking up every 2 hours and screaming. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Ooh.
My dreams have been disturbed of late. And so I thought, I'll come and see my friend Corazon and see what the matter is, because if I had to put money on it, the curse is going to be lifted soon, which frankly would ease my marital troubles. No small amount.
Yep, I couldn't be dissuaded from this course of action, Panniers. I decided it was the right thing to do to return the treasure.
He was so enthusiastic.
So that you and all the rest of the crew could finally find peace.
That's kind.
Curly Joe. He's kind. Jack Craxon. Leather Armour Theodore.
Ah, Leather Armour Theodore. What a son of a bitch.
So, you know, just doing the right thing as I often do.
Like how far is it to the curse hole? How many, are we nearly there? are we nearly there yet? Let me rephrase my question as, are we nearly there yet?
'Tis a long and arduous journey.
Batteries died on my Game Boy.
Why not play I Spy?
I would say in nautical terms, it's one poignant conversation and a short montage away. Oh. By sea.
Oh.
Let's have a poignant conversation then.
Okay, you first.
No, I have them all the time. Someone else do one. Else do a feeling.
I want to know what it's like to be immortal, Panniers. What's so bad about being immortal? Sounds good on the face of it. You get to live forever.
Well, let's just say immortality, if it were just that, pure immortality, I'm sure it would be great. But this is a curse we're talking about. So the creature that's cursed me, it still has something of a hold over my soul, you might call it.
Okay.
And my lovely, my partner here, this is the whale, kind of... Well, getting a little long in the tooth. Bailey, I should say. And, we've been talking about, you know, what's going to happen when the whale eventually goes and I'm just existing forever. And frankly, whales are peevish. Let's just say that my beloved is not taking it lightly that I might not pass away roughly around the same time.
Huh.
Have you considered cursing your whale?
Well, I'd never do such a thing.
Right,
tis a terrible gnawing curse. Mm. Tis not a fun thing at all.
Not something you'd wish from any animal.
Speak
or
on
person.
That. Speak on the gnawing.
Well, I mean, sure, I sleep like a baby inside the whale, but not everyone has a whale to sleep inside of, like a contented baby.
So it's somewhat uncomfortable.
Aye.
And you outlive all your lovers.
Yes.
Sounds pretty good.
Okay, well, I wasn't expecting this line of questioning.
You said something about a creature? What creature? I've never heard of a creature in relation to this curse before.
Well...
Yeah, there's a creature. You saw a creature?
Oh, you didn't tell me about the creature there, Corazon.
I mean, I didn't really see the creature. There was a lot going on. Sorry.
I'd say there was a lot going on, yeah. Didn't see the creature, is that it?
I was just securing our escape route from... The curse hole.
So you merely glimpsed it over your shoulder then.
I mean, I didn't. Glimpsed is generous. I sort of heard.
I'm pulling your leg, Corazon. You know, we've long settled our differences between us. We're on the same side now. Until obviously the 2 years comes up and I'm compelled to try and kill you again.
Sure. Where are we on that, by the way? Where are we on that?
Oh.
5 minutes.
Oh, don't worry about it. We'll probably have this whole thing tied up before I try it again.
Oh, good. Okay.
But to answer your question, Miss Prudence, it's more... The curse is its own thing. It has its own momentum. And were it your garden variety curse of just I'm going to outlive all of my lovers and I'm never going to die, sure, I'd be delighted too. But let's just say it has a director. It has something that can aim it, just like a cannon. And it has ill intentions. And it doesn't care about me. And it doesn't care about Jack Craxon. It doesn't care about Curly Joe. It just cares about...
Leather Armour Steve?
Theodore,
whatever his name was.
Exactly.
Exactly. Doesn't even care about him.
I'm not even sure it knows about whether I'm a Theodore these days. It cares about vengeance. It cares about having its horde be whole again. And let's just say it's real mean-spirited.
Huh. Sounds like you'd get on just fine.
Why, Corazon, if it's not an indelicate question, and I suppose also a question to you, Paddy, is why did you go to the Curse Hole in the first place?
Treasure.
Was it called the Treasure Hole at the time?
Oh, why did you go to the Curse Hole?
Why did you go to the huge treasure? It was called the Treasure Hole.
I don't understand why money's great.
Before we called it the Curse Hole, we called it the Treasure Hole.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. No one knew it was cursed when we went in to get the treasure.
Right.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone in.
Cool. Wow. A lot of heat you're bringing to this conversation.
Not super jazzed about going in a second time.
It just seemed like it was an awful decision, is all. So,
yeah. Okay, well, yes, we realise that
yeah,
now.
It would have been an awful decision if we'd walked into a place called the Curse Hole, which, I remind you, is what we're doing right now. Go.
Yes. To aim this mysterious creature's cannon-like curse
vengeance
at a giraffe, etc.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're not. The plan isn't to like end the curse. The plan is to redirect the curse into some wildlife selectively, and also this guy. And I gesture at Hamadal. Mm. Hamadal, well, Panyas, by the way.
We will end
Hamadal.
The curse.
Hello,
on you folks. And then they will re-establish the curse on a giraffe or something. I'm not entirely sure.
Wait. You're going to the curse hole, not just to lift the curse from the crew,
you'd have to tell,
but to then immediately extract it again and pour it into this old man and what is a giraffe?
I don't know.
It's like a
long neck horse.
Yeah. This seems like a very bad idea.
I'm insane. Great, brilliant. All right, Panias is on your side.
Cool.
Well, let's do this. Should we get there quicker? Do you want a tow?
Yes, please.
Lower the whale rope.
Is that a harpoon or?
No.
All right, okay, good. I put away the harpoon.
Don't tempt me, Frodo.
I know, it's more like a big yoke. And like, if you imagine.
Like a harness.
Yeah, it's like a bit for a horse. But just imagine like this whale's like. Gonk, and it's like. Bah. I think it's canonically it's a humpback whale we've got. So still pretty big. Mm-hmm. Still pretty scary. Horrible, but it adds like a good 10 knots to the speed.
Oh, great!
It's like, well, that's the poignant conversation out of the way. In a short montage, we shall arrive. Mm. Yeah. How does everyone spend their montage time?
Sleeping and eating.
I'll be on the Lido deck, playing shuffleboard.
Yeah. Am I still an octopus at this point? No. I'm gonna break into the captain's cabin and try and put up another hammock while he's busy playing.
Not this again.
Captain's cabin A or B?
Hang on. Yeah, I thought it was like a part of the big emotional sacrifice that everyone can use the captain's toilet so you can get in the cabin anyway.
Yeah, but I don't want a hammock in the toilet.
Why not?
No, but
oh, to get in.
It's an ensuite.
Get in. Oh, yeah. Ensuite. Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Just going to put a hammock in the captain's cabin.
Yeah,
hammock.
And I go give Percy Jr. some scritches.
Okay. Percy Jr. looks at your outfit and is like,
I know, Percy.
I'd like to write a nice letter to Suzette.
Yeah, because I couldn't ink myself. I'm still stonewashed.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, I'm going to say, Percy Jr., you go to, like, scratch him, and he's like...
Oh,
he's really cagey for quite a long time. Eventually he gets there, but, you know when, like, an animal's just, like, a bit aloof? They're like,
yeah.
That.
Could you not?
Merlin is heartbroken.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're writing a letter to Suzette.
Long letter to Suzette in the event of my death.
Bummer. Cool. All right.
It's a sensible thing to do.
No, I know.
Oh,
I just
sorry.
No.
Caper around. Make everyone martinis.
I'm sorry I said it was a bummer. I'm sorry. No, that is smart.
Can we know what you write in it or only if you die?
Only if I die, of course.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You better kill dog.
Not
pay.
Doing dramatic readings of my death letter.
Put it in a little baggie and swallow it, and then we'll have to cut it.
Is there
out
a captain's library on this ship?
Yeah.
Is it full of like nonsense adventure pamphlets about Corazon?
Mostly. There are books on magic.
Curses. Okay, I take Frisky and the Darkness, who have had so little attention for so long, and I take them to the library and let them roam around while I research some curses.
Okie dokie. Make me an arcana check, please. You can have this at intelligence because you have two sentient occult books who are going to help you sniff out the good stuff.
Sniffing out the good stuff. Oh, that's a one.
No.
Oh, no. You got like trash today.
Roll it again.
Roll it again.
You got advantage.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, that is, it's an arcana roll, you said?
Yes.
Well, I do have proficiency. Uh-huh. So that is a 12.
Okay. It's, the stuff you get is sort of tantalizingly vague. It is sort of stuff about how, you know, some things are cursed magically, and there's sort of the ins and outs of that, like how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, why not? You reckon that you could have a pretty good go at cursing things now if you wanted to.
Mm,
why not?
Cool, nice.
Curse of
my own.
Yeah. You think you understand sort of the basics of how to curse things, but there is sort of, it's a very vague passage that does have like lots of like marginalia and like bits of it are underlined about how sometimes very strong emotions or lots of activity around a place can attract certain beings from other realms that are, say, drawn to great shows of greed or anger or, like, want and attraction, for example.
I see.
And these things can... a lot of it rings true of what Pania said about like this thing being a director for the curse, effectively. So it seems like whatever is in that curse hole was drawn there by just the sheer sense of avarice surrounding that place, which, in fairness, implies that the treasure hoard was pretty dope. So you're like, okay, you know, maybe. I mean, it's up to you how Prudence processes this, but it's like, it is understandable that Corazon and the crew were willing to go through the trials of the cursed hole. A, not realizing it was cursed, but B, because apparently that's a whole lot of treasure.
Do I recognize the handwriting in the margins? Is it Corazon's?
Yeah. It is? Yeah, good.
Okay. All right, fine.
Just wanted to double check before I was like, Corazon's been studying this. But yes. Yeah.
Good.
Well, good montage, everybody.
How do I do a shuffleboard?
Oh, make me a just a dex check, please.
That's an 18 plus 4, 22.
17. You, Pania's cannot match you.
You just push it.
That's where Pania's is going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew I was doing the wrong one.
Curly's down on the fourth day.
That's why it's called Curly Jack, or whatever his name was.
Curly Joe.
I can't remember the names of any of these pirates.
You know my name, don't you, Egbert?
Pancakes.
I always set myself up to be hurt. Anyway,
curse hole, ho. Okay. Pania sort of says curse hole, ho, and kind of like gestures. But it's kind of an empty, it's not an empty gesture, but like the island isn't really that visible so far. It's more that the whale has started to slow down.
Mm.
You know how like when you're on the London Underground and you know the stop's coming up because the train starts decelerating and you're like, here's my stop.
Yeah,
It's that. You're just like, oh, we must be nearing the curse hole because the whale is slowing down. And sure enough, yeah, in time, as you kind of all come to the front of the ship and look out over the bowsprit, you do see, Corazon, it's an island very familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
It looks quite curse holy, everybody, is what I'm saying. It's a small island. And around it, in the shallows, you can see lots of masts and things of shipwrecks that have just been left there. And basically, from far away, it looks like quite a lush island. There's sort of an expansive beach, and then there's lots of, like, lovely, you know, green, like, foliage. There's sort of a mangrove on one side. Like, it's all gorgeous. And then towards the inside, it is like somebody has dropped some ink into a cup of water, because all of the vegetation is just shriveled and blackened and whole, but just like it's had the life sucked from it.
Huh.
And then sort of in the middle, there's sort of just like a mound, sort of like if a halfling lived in a little hill with a round door, remove the door and make it bloody awful. That is sort of the entrance to the curse hole, from which an atmospheric smoke is just kind of rising.
So is the curse hole the bit on the beach? You got to go in the mangroves.
You got to go into the
heart of the
that
island.
That bit.
Yeah, and that's not it. I mean, once you get in there, that's when it. That's when the fun starts. Will be a while.
Okay.
Hey, this is what you wanted, right? I say passively aggressively.
Hey, I wrote a letter to my next of kin. I'm good.
My affairs are in order.
My affairs are in order. Can you say the same?
Fine. I said we drop anchor out here and take a rowboat in. I don't want to get the ship any closer.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
Are you leaving your death letter on the ship, or are you bringing it with us?
No, bring it with me.
Yeah, but then how is...
What if you die?
Yeah, won't be recoverable.
What if you're destroyed?
What if you're fully destroyed?
You're asking a question that is a question about all death letters.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I didn't invent this.
Yes.
Everyone who has a death letter on their person, their body might be exploded or something. Yes. And then the letter is also destroyed.
Sometimes you put the letter somewhere else.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Merowyn? Read my death letter once we're off the boat.
Get all my death secrets.
Get all my death secrets. No way. Find out where the gold is. Don't
okay,
so.
Fine.
No, I'll keep it, you know. In a wax sealed... I feel like we're focusing a lot on my death letter.
I want to know what's in it.
People are going to think it's foreshadowing.
Sorry.
Now I narratively have to die. Right.
I'll stop obsessing about the death letter.
It's in a little sort of oil skin wrap. So it's waterproofed.
Okay.
And it's just...
Could I... I have a couple of pieces of correspondence I'd like to add to that packet if I don't make it out.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Right.
I've written two letters to Denise.
Yes.
One of them is a P45. Sure. And the other one, just in case she doesn't understand that, is a pink slip.
Okay.
For your car.
Add them in.
That's right. For pinks, Denise.
I'll add them in and stitch up the oil skin. There we go. Seal.
The third one is just a piece of paper that says you're fired.
Okay, I unstitch it.
Sorry.
That's fine. Any more for any more?
I'm going to live.
I stitch it up.
Well, this is very exciting. Let's go make my venture a success. Mm. And also lift a dreadful curse on these poor fellows or something.
Yeah.
Everybody wins. Okay, Corazon, after you.
What do you mean after me? Why me?
You've been here before, haven't you?
Well, I showed you where it is.
Shall we list the reasons?
Yeah, I got
it. You've been here before. Mm-hmm. It's the pirate curse hole that is your fault.
I didn't make the curse. Fine. Right, fine. Everyone in the boat.
Come here. Have courage, my friend. He sort of reaches out to sort of put his hands on your shoulders. We're just here to,
the run,
finish what's been started.
No, wait.
Phineas! What? What?
It's getting to you.
Oh, bad hands. Okay.
All right. I knew this would happen. The curse is it's affecting Panniers the closer we get to the curse hole.
Yeah,
everyone keep an eye on Panniers.
I'm cursed,
you
dingus. I'm sorry. Oh, maybe keep an eye on old Panniers, hey?
Yeah, maybe everyone keep an eye on Panniers.
Ready for a story you haven't heard?
Realms of Peril and Glory.
From one-shots to campaigns, indie games to established titles.
We are playing Liminal.
Cyborg. Thirsty Sword Lesbians.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Agon.
13th Age.
Join Liz.
Laura.
Zach.
James.
Maddie.
Naomi.
And Pip.
Guys!
Yay!
That was a delight.
And a rotating cast of incredible guests.
Hello, I'm Grant Howitt.
Jasper William Cartwright.
Nathan Blades.
Charmony Bundell.
As we weave thrilling new stories with gorgeous sound design and beautiful original music.
I rolled a natural 20!
Yeah!
So, what are you waiting for? Grab your dice and go explore the realms of peril and glory.
Go to realmspod.com today or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Should we bind Panniers' hands?
Sure, I'm game. That'll make it easier to go through all the traps. I'm functionally immortal, actually, so yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's tie Panniers' hands.
That'll make you feel better.
All right, cuff him.
Okay.
Yeah, use a bit of hemp and rope. Just want to tie Panniers' hands behind.
Stop him strangling me.
Behind the back, I think.
Yeah.
Okay,
great.
Is that comfortable?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Is that worse? All right. Do you remember the time I got flayed? Acid.
Oh, and the acid. Mm. Yeah.
That was bad.
That was bad.
Mm. Yikes. But what I was trying to say before I tried to choke you to death is, let's finish this together. I'm proud of the steps that you've made to try and put this right.
Oh.
Okay.
Listen, hey, look. Falling in love with a whale, it teaches you things.
I bet.
About, about living at incredible sea pressures. But also about perspective on relationships and doing the right thing and putting your pride to one side.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Whoa. He's going to try and headbutt you. A nine. What's your AC?
It's 15.
A nine.
Okay. He goes like, whoa, and just sort of like, just hits the deck in front of you and goes, ah, sorry.
Mm. Oh. This is going to get worse the closer we get to the hole, everyone. So just
okay,
head on a swivel for Panniers.
Yeah. But Panniers is only trying to kill Corazon, right? Just to
keep you distance.
Which nobody wants. But he's only trying to kill Corazon.
He's only trying to kill me.
But we should get a move on in case the other crew turn up.
Oh, right.
Oh, they'll have felt the I can't sleep medallion.
Okay.
You didn't see that. They'll have felt it the same as me. So
they'll be on the way. Right.
Okay. Not. Into the curse hole.
Everyone into the rowboat. Let's get to the shore.
Should we all do that thing where we pretend we don't have dark vision to ease Corazon?
What's dark vision?
I produce flame.
So dark in this cave.
We've got to get in the rowboat first.
Yeah.
We've got to go ashore.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What time of day is it?
It's getting on for evening. What's the most... Yeah, I'd say it's getting on for evening, but the sun is kind of like setting behind you. Mm. So like the Curse Hole's really like illuminated.
Sick.
In all
now.
Its horrible glory. Yeah.
Get some sweet paintings at this time.
All right.
That is with a brush in his mouth, just like...
Gonna row over to the beach.
Ah, the beach. I've missed this beach. It's beautiful. Pure shores.
Yeah, it's a pretty good beach.
And then kind of pull the boats up the beach so it doesn't get washed out with the tide, and you know,
great.
Walk up. I guess we'll walk up to the entrance of the castle.
As soon as you basically make land, you can hear a horrible like.
Everyone else hear that?
Noise.
Is it just my stomach rumbling?
Can we all hear it?
Can you hear what I hear?
Can you feel it calling? I'm drowning.
Calling you, my dear.
Kids, ask your parents about the beach.
I just want to murder you, Corazon, but you're out to reach.
Can we all hear it? Is it just Corazon who can hear it?
You can all hear it. This is definitely an island-wide bad feel.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Oh, it's because pirates is ASMR. No, you are.
It's two steps forward, one step back.
It started so well.
You're at the curse hole. Even Pania seems sobered by this. He's like staring at it like...
So dark, can't peer within its gloom. Corazon, do you have any spells that might let us...
I know you've all got dark vision, so just look in it with your dark vision.
Okay. I look in the curse hole, what can I see?
Light a torch.
Oh, thank you, my boy. That's much better. I couldn't see on account of being old and not magical. You can see they're much the same as ever they were. Some steps hewn into the rock that kind of go down. They're those very shallow steps that are kind of worn here from the passage of many, many feet.
Seems fine so far.
All right. Come on then, let's go. Let's get this over with.
I can't shake this feeling that there's a sensible thing to do before we go in the hole. But, it's like on the tip of my tongue. No, in we go.
Dog, please, no.
Stick with it.
Come on, what is it?
I don't know, I just feel like we've been in these sorts of situations before. We're about to go into like a terrifying dungeon.
This is why we need post-dungeon debriefs. Where we do lessons learned.
Yeah.
Never learn anything.
This isn't a bit where I have thought of something to do and I'm pretending I don't
know
it.
No,
I can't think of anything to do. I just get a feeling that like...
There's something we should
do. Is it something along the lines of like tying ourselves to each other or tying a rope?
Yeah, or like...
Or leaving a breadcrumb trail?
Something we should be doing that we're not doing.
Let's do all of that.
It's like if we were listening to a story about some people doing this in a bardic tale, you would say, why don't they such and such?
Yes.
It's so obvious, but I can't think of it. So, in.
All right.
It'll come to us later.
It'll come to us later when
too late.
Okay, let's traverse
the curse hole.
The many trap rooms of the curse hole.
Okay, dokie.
So as you sort of, you start to move down like the steps, they sort of give way to a winding corridor. And occasionally you sort of, like the floor near you kind of like the wall kind of is a little cave opening. You can see down there just like lots of stalagmites and like water that's kind of like hushing away. And it's all quite spooky, basically. And the first real sort of feature of this curse hole that you get to is it's a big old chasm. Mm. It is one of those ones where it's just like you're like walking along and suddenly like, oh, because there is a very narrow shelf that goes here. There is far on the other side, like the way forward, and there is basically just a pit. You cannot see the bottom of it. It is inky black. Mm. There used to be a rope bridge here.
There did.
You remember the rope bridge well, yeah. Corazon. Because, well...
Did you cut it on your way out?
Where it started. See, where it started. And you can see a couple of planks kind of like drifting over. And far on the other side, you can see a sort of a some slats hanging down from where it broke in the middle the last time anyone tried to cross it.
Yeah, no, it collapsed while we were on it. We lost several members of the crew.
Oh,
man. They're probably down there now, huh?
Pretty harrowing, yeah.
Was that before or after they were cursed? Are they just
still knocking
about down there having
oh, no, they didn't make it. Yeah, they didn't make it to the curse. So they're...
Oh! They're the lucky ones.
Yeah, they're dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Lucky.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't feel lucky.
No.
They don't feel anything. They're dead. Okay, how do we get across the chasm?
How wide is the chasm?
Like, long. I'm going to say like 200 foot across.
Oh!
It big.
Scale.
And okay. You mentioned that there was a sort of narrow shelf.
You're sort of on it.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
Sort of spread out.
Okay.
But you do notice that sort of at one end is a length of chain.
Mm.
If you care to look up above the length of chain.
Which I do.
You'll see that it's basically just like a straight climb. It's probably about 100 foot up.
Okay.
But then there's sort of just a gantry. That just sort of runs
like a lighting rig.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a second sturdy bridge.
Oh, bridge up there.
Problem solved. Bridge up there.
How are we going to get up there?
Up the chain.
That's ridiculous. We had this conversation last time we were here. We were like, no, what are you talking about? We can't possibly climb that chain. We're not strong enough.
Yeah.
Let's just go across the rope bridge. So I don't know. I don't know what you think.
It's 100 foot of chain to climb.
Well.
I can spider climb it, but that's just me.
Perhaps we can make the chain easier to climb for the less acrobatically inclined amongst us by taking some, like, arrows and jamming arrows in the links, some of the links, to make a sort of, like...
Rudimentary ladder
as we go up. I think I can get up this chain... So, Merylwyn, if you can give me basically.
You can be like the lead climber.
Well, I need one arrow so I can just teleport across with my special magical bow.
How far can you teleport?
How far can you fire on it?
I'm liking this plan more.
An arrow is. Well, let's see.
Does the teleportation.
Is it a short bow or a long bow?
I think it's a long
bow. Let's have a look on the figure.
I think it's a long bow.
Yeah.
That's not the magical one. That's my.
How far does Merylwyn's magic teleportation bow work?
Oh, both are well within range.
I feel like you could fire like 200 feet with a short bow.
Yeah, just aim up loads. That's how you make an arrow go forever.
If it can escape the Earth's atmosphere. So you want to do it at night, basically.
Inspiration for remembering the most salient point about Geth.
Yeah.
So I can take one person with me, but like, I mean...
Take Coruscant. We'll be on the boat. You two got this?
Okay, I grab onto Zolf and I continue.
Make me that check.
Okay. Oh, that is... Wow.
Refuse the call to adventure, that, will you?
That is a 6.
Okay.
All right.
I don't...
We've not really
worked out whether this is a thing where you activate it and you are like locked in to go where this arrow goes, or whether you can choose to blink to where the arrow lands. I think let's be kind. you can
yes,
choose.
Please.
So, like, Dob, you're like, here we go. Obviously, Dob doesn't know about the inner workings of this.
Yeah.
Bone. So, Dob, you see this arrow kind of like, and then it's go like, tong, gong, dong, dong. And there's a terrifying moment where you're like, any second now, I'm going to be teleported into that chasm.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Teleport me to the chasm.
Okay, fair. Is it a fair trade-off? Asking you out of the game now that you get to choose not to activate it, but it uses the charge?
But it uses the charge, yeah. Cool. So, like, I've charged it up, but yeah. I'm not going to expend it, like, but it's just gone.
Arrow, yeah. Ready to teleport. Would you like to teleport? Shutting down. That's what your bow sounds like.
Can I just silently take the rest of Merowyn's arrows and start climbing up this chain with intense side eye?
Okay, make me...
You're quite far down now. I'm like...
This is strength, this is strength athletics or dex acrobatics?
Dex acrobatics, please.
Yeah, that's fair. Because it's not easy to climb a chain and also insert arrows and give someone stink.
Yeah, that's
yeah, right.
For 100 foot of chain.
Okay, well, that's an 8 plus 10, 18.
Ooh.
Okay, you were looking for a 15. So.
Okay, cool, nice. Right. So yeah, so I basically just want to get all the way up the chain and at intervals, kind of slotting in arrows.
Yep.
So that I guess it's going to be a sort of rotating, but I think they can handle it. Uh-huh. Meryl wins. Arrows are elven and sturdy, probably. light as a bird's wing.
If there is any way to guarantee that I'm going to try and put sharks in the water.
Are they flexible there? Are they flexy?
Why do they need to be flexy?
Well, so they can...
Oh, yes. They are supple as
what
a...
What if that's bad?
Supple as a river reed.
Oh, no. That's bad. We need them to be sturdy.
The way that I shoot,
but strong as an oak.
I want more solid arrows. I don't want them to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but not so, brittle.
So Dob is up. Oh, what? No. In what order is everyone going now?
Someone needs to.
I just give like an experimental tug on this arrow, just see if it'll support the
it'll
weight
work.
Of it. It'll work.
Yeah.
They're elven arrows.
Who's going first?
I would like to spellcast Spider Climb.
Cool.
Which I didn't realise, actually. Until the spell ends, one willing creature you touch gains the ability to move. So I actually can bestow Spider Climb. So I boot myself on the nose. Oh. And now I can Spider Climb.
Great.
And I ascend the 100 foot to the gantry.
Yep, you can...
Next to Dob.
Does it make that noise?
I make that noise.
It makes much worse noise.
Oh, that is deeply unsettling. All right, yeah, Prince, you are up.
Right, gantry.
Metal when colours on the deck.
I'll try to just climb it.
Yeah. How?
Okay. Well, with the arrows and handholds, I am going to say that you have advantage on this check.
Okay.
It is either strength athletics or dex acrobatics, depending on what you decide. Please. But if you whiff it, it's gonna break some of the arrows and make it harder for the next person.
Okay.
Cool.
But for a 15 with advantage, Corazon's probably gonna make it up.
I rolled a 17 there, so.
Oh, dang, yeah. You do it, all right.
Okay.
You sort of, you get butterflies in your stomach, because it's 100 foot's a long way to be climbing, with sort of arrows that, even if, you know, they're quite sturdy, will have quite a bit of flex on them.
Mm. I climb down past Corazon head first.
Clamber over me. While I'm climbing.
No, I'm on the wall, I'm not on the chair.
Okay, you're on the wall.
But just, you know.
Yep. Oh, hey.
Yeah. So, just doing loops and showing off.
Yeah.
Marilyn, Egbert, who's next?
I want to make sure that Panniers gets across, so I'm going to turn into a giant eagle, pick him up, and carry him over.
Oh.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Ah, oh, this is brilliant. Karazhan, how come we just came here as normal, mundane human men?
I know. It's a real waste of time.
Oh, but we got rich. Oh, no, wait, we didn't.
I have since learned magic, though. I can do all the spells now.
Ooh, hearken me.
Grease and all of them. All the good ones.
Don't accidentally cast grease.
Very, very bad to work.
How did Merowyn die? Greased eagle. Over a death pit.
Olive oil starts to drip from my fingers.
As long as it isn't voice activated. Yeah. You said the word grease.
Oh,
immediately
you're up a chain. No, so you made it to the gantry. You've got panniers onto the other side, which means that advantage is preserved for you,
Egbert.
I'll strength it, please.
Akidaki.
That is a 14.
Uh-oh.
Well, that doesn't do it at all. That's a whiff.
I've got inspiration. I could go again.
Can I go back and get Egbert?
He's got inspiration.
Let's resolve this first.
Okay.
If you want to use your inspiration, feel free.
Yeah, I think I do. This
go
feels
on, give it
wait,
go,
he's got
Egbert.
Advantage, right? Because I didn't.
Oh yeah,
any
you've still got
thing.
Advantage.
That's what I meant.
Oh right, I see. Sorry. Yeah. Well, then I've rolled a dirty 22.
Hey.
Delightful. Yeah.
Okay. Fun.
Yeah. You're all the way up.
Inspiration
baby.
Preserved.
Okay. Hey, welcome to clunk, gantry
clunk,
life.
Clunk, clunk, clunk.
High five, Egbert.
High five,
Corazon.
Hey, high fives.
In fairness, yeah. It is a testament to the quality of elven craft that a dragonborn paladin in like pretty hench armor with a big old like shield on his back and a bunch of munitions can make it up and climb on the arrows and they don't all break.
As light as spider silk.
Was I retrieving arrows as I went?
Yeah, if you'd like to.
I rolled a 22. It feels like something I could probably manage.
I reckon, yeah. Yes.
I hand Merwin an armful of arrows.
Yeah.
Kendra is a mother's heart.
You can take him in my beak.
Well, you have made it to the other side. Panis is kind of standing there, still just like marvelling that, you know, you made it up to the gantry. Mm. Oh, Hamadal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot
oh.
about him. Okay. Hamadal? Rolled a 15, pretty sprightly. I would say that before Egbert,
yeah.
He was like, give me 1 second, my boy. And he's like, he's swapped his cane for like his adventurer's cane, which
right.
is like a hook.
Oh,
oh cool.
Nice.
Mm. I'm imagining him in like adventurer's gear.
Yeah.
And the little
pith helmet.
Yeah, pith helmet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Yeah.
Little neckerchief.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, basically that. Oh, I've never felt more protective of Hamadal, actually.
He's got the socks pulled up to his
yeah,
knees.
Yeah,
and the hiking boots.
He must be protected.
Cool. Great.
He must be protected on this mission to curse him.
That's the ultimate protection, the immortality curse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
Okay. So we're up on the... Are we up on the gantry? And we're just
going
to
cross the other side?
Cross the other side.
Yes, you can start to cross to the other side.
Simply walk.
It's pretty secure.
I'd like to walk like this anyway.
All right, cool. from beneath again, you sort of just hear like a noise coming from the depths.
Nobody look down. Just keep your eyes focused on the end. Don't look into the hole.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I have a little peek over?
You can have a little peek over.
While I'm waiting for everyone.
Oh yeah, look at the hole. Good idea.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Roll to not go instantly mad.
Stare into the abyss and hope that it doesn't stare back.
Yeah, this is the thing.
The abyss was looking away at the time.
Oh,
the abyss had its eyes closed.
I'm just kind of like looking out just in case anything like comes up.
Yeah, so maybe a wisdom perception check, please.
Okay. Well, Barnacle Beefoot is down there.
Okay, that's
another name I definitely will not remember.
And Johnny Tsunami.
A. 27.
Huh. Damn.
So perceptive.
The abyss averts its eyes.
What time you don't want to be perceptive?
You, as you stare long enough into the abyss, you can almost see tendrils of the what was solid, inky, black darkness sort of like swirling.
Mm.
Almost like there's sort of like a, almost like it's like a fog covering the ground, but it is like thick.
Mm.
Pure black tendrils.
Mm.
And you also the sort of like wordless kind of just like noise.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you can start to understand it and you distinctly hear it go do you choose to share this information?
No, until the right moment. Okay, so I'm, you know,
yeah,
I just
right
don't
moment.
Want to free.
I'm sure
I don't
be
want to
a
free command just yet.
No, yeah. I can want to do it when it's going to have the maximum. I want to really.
When he can't get out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need him here. We need Corazon.
Okie dokie. You coming across the gantry. You reach another. Room. There's actually sort of like a bit of a downward. You find another corridor that sort of leads downwards, and you suspect is kind of linking up with the doorway, the sort of the cavernous doorway on the other side of the pit, on like, you know, scrub level. and you move into another room, which is, it's kind of like a, it's like a circular room, and it's all still right now, which is great because it looks like this room is absolutely festooned with blades. Like there are pillars everywhere, and attached to these pillars are enormous kind of like almost scimitar-esque blades, but we're talking like that long, and they are like that thick, and even though they've been here for God knows how long, they still seem to be incredibly sharp. Like some spider silk kind of drifts down from the ceiling like a clump of it, and you see it just kind of split in two as it hits one of these blades.
Sweet.
As I say, they do not seem to be moving because they appear to be all tangled up in something. What does it look like?
It's an old scarf from Lord Potiongkin's Academy for Posh Little Lords. It's got the crest, the school crest is on it.
And the school colours.
You can still make that out, yeah. Aww. The school colours, purple and green. And this still seems to be taken care of, Panniers. Looks like we did a good job on this one.
They make good scarves at that school for twerps, was it? What's it called again?
Yeah, something like that, Panniers.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah.
That's your school, Corazon.
Yeah, I know. This is how we got past this room beforehand. Well, not before we did incur some casualties.
How big was your crew before you headed into it?
Oh, huge.
Couple of hundred score.
It was, you know, enough to man a galleon, you know.
Yeah, and when you've got multiple watches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Multiple watches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we're running a literal skeleton crew. Well, sort of figurative skeleton crew at the moment.
But this is good news for us, because this room is safe.
Is that scarf going to hold?
I don't know.
Everyone make a wisdom perception check, please.
15 minus 1 is 14.
Mm-hmm. All right, not bad.
18.
No, wait. 10.
Okay.
8.
Okay.
7 of your dice points.
Okay. Egbert, you notice that whatever this machinery like is or was is still active. Like, you can sense, it's not immediately obvious, but you can see a ever so slight sort of vibration on the blades and on the poles. Whatever makes these things spin is still straining against this very well-made scarf. Corazon, I nearly called you Percy then. Corazon, you are sort of distracted by the wealth of memories of that scarf. Like, you remember it flapping behind you as you went scrumping for apples, etc., etc. So, you know, you're not...
So the life of crime called to you early, didn't it?
Trying to bury myself in it as I stood in front of the headmaster's desk. My father stood beside me, listening to the tales.
Are you saying this stuff out loud?
What? Sorry, Egbert. Are the blades safe? Can we go into?
It looks like the machinery is still active, and if that scarf is at all compromised,
well,
since
Meryl,
we last hit
on an 18, you have noticed that this scarf is looking pretty threadbare. You know how material kind of can almost go brittle after a fashion. Basically, what we're looking at here is a very deadly room that is currently inert, that you might be able to cross without making too much of a disturbance that would tear the scarf asunder and start all the machinery and mince you up.
Are there, like, visible... Is the visible machinery? Like, how is this scarf attached? Yeah.
I'd like you to imagine a series of poles that are kind of, like, segmented.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Each with blades kind of spinning, but they're kind of dotted around, and the scarf is just like...
Oh, a long old scarf. Stretched very thin.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so we just need to make it through this room without touching the scarf.
Yeah. Like, have you heard ye olde tale of Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah. In Entrapment.
I'm there.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
are there any blades on the ceiling?
There's like a few, but it's kind of like, you know how in some of those restaurants they have like wonderful mechanical fans that just spin and cool down all the diners? They aren't that many.
Oh, okay.
You can kind of thread your way through them.
I would like to spider climb.
Are there any blades in the dark?
Oh, it's quite dim in here, yes. Yeah. I'm not sure if any of them have been taught how to love. Sorry.
I would like to spider climb into a kind of overwatch position.
Yep.
So I can call out everybody's best paths from overhead.
I love it. Okay, great. Yeah. Everyone can have a, like a D6 overwatch die. So okay. Whatever you roll, you can roll a d6 and add that to your roll as you try and pick your way through.
Nice. Obviously, prunes can go along the ceiling, yeah. So that's fine. A Merrowen can turn into a fly or whatever, so probably that's okay.
I'm functionally immortal, so you could just send me through and I'll get minced up. And
well,
then I'll be
you should go minced. Through last, yeah. Because if we set off the, you know...
Oh, turn off the curse, yeah. You won't have time to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Plus, you don't have use of your hands.
No, I don't, no. Which is fair. Which
also,
is fair.
We should think about, we really don't want to set this off because we have to come back this way.
Well, unless there's one of those levers that just opens like a door that steps you straight out.
Corazon, was there one of those levers? Did you check for...
There was another way out, yeah.
Oh, cool. I ignore the menace in there.
That's a problem for later.
I ignore the grim portent of
this. Okay, so Panniers is okay, but Egbert, Corazon, Hamadal, Hamadal. No, Dob's fine.
Dob's fine.
This is good.
Why is Dob fine? Oh, okay.
Acrobat.
Have you seen the cat suit into which he has changed?
Dob pours himself into a cat suit.
So much talc. I mean, yeah.
It's
should we just
necessary or wise to be wearing a cat suit?
This is bendy. It's acrobatics. Yeah. It's kind of my whole deal. What I want, what I'm thinking about, is how can I help Egbert, who is large and spiky.
Oh yes.
How can I help you, Egbert? Can I guide Egbert through this? Can I hold Egbert's hand and we move? Can I help Egbert so that he can roll at advantage, a D&D mechanic we never use?
Bardic inspiration.
You may...
Anything but that.
I am willing to basically... I'm imagining you piloting Egbert like a sort of dragon flesh mech. So basically you'll be rolling double duty for both of you. So you'll be doing the rolls, and any harm that befalls you will... Before Egbert as well. All Egbert, right. You'll be rolling a d20 every time Dob rolls, and if you roll a 1, that's bad.
I see.
Okay.
I see.
Make sense?
Yeah.
You're gonna like ratatouille him through the maze.
Yeah. bit scarier than I thought, but yeah, it makes sense.
Grab onto these little handlebars here. Then,
yeah.
This is Dex Acrobatics all day long.
Okay, Egbert, don't worry.
Okay, I need to roll as well, though, right?
I've got you.
Yeah, just don't roll a 1.
I rolled a 12.
Oh, that's good.
There's one in it.
16.
Okie dokie.
What about the N plus 6, right?
Yeah, I would.
Sorry. I'm navigating for you.
Plus a D6.
Plus, I already rolled that. It was 5. So, 21.
You make it. By 1 point. Oh. DC here is 20.
All right, good luck, Hamadal. Good luck, Corazon. You've got this team.
I do, 24.
Oh ho ho!
Right.
Describe it to me. How does it look? Because, like, this is... I think it's safe to say you're having probably the most emotionally intense day out of all of them.
Yeah. So I'm sort of very carefully, like, picking my way, moving sideways, and, like, making sure to stay out of the blade's range wherever possible.
Mm-hmm.
As I go past the scarf that's straining, I sort of stare at it for a while. And then I compose myself and I carry on moving, staying low as much as possible, and end up just sort of crawling towards the end and getting... over the sort of the threshold at the other side of the room.
Tremendous. How sweaty are you?
quite. Yeah,
okay,
quite.
Cool. Right. Prudence, you're just avoiding ceiling fans. This is a walk in the park for you. And again, Panius is just watching, be like,
it's amazing. You're all great.
Panius.
We should have been getting in on this magic stuff, Panius.
Turns out. I mean, you did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty easy to pick up, actually.
Can't wait for you to grease something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
all
this room.
Some of the most amazing spells are just so easy to learn.
You may not have heard about this one, but I've heard a spell where you can call down the very light of the moon. Somebody told me, and I didn't believe him. I said, you're lying.
That's the easiest one of all, actually.
What? No, I said, it's impossible.
No,
and even if it
down.
Is possible, it can never be done by more than one.
Probably you could do it right now, Panniers, without any training.
Yeah, I'll show you which muscle to tense. It's this one, but I point to the muscle.
Ah!
Merylwen, did you roll to pick your way through the maze yet?
I've not done it. I'm still an eagle. I'm still eyeing everything up, and I'm kind of looking at the scarf a little bit like...
Yeah, basically what I'm trying to communicate is do something soon because Panius is about to let off an involuntary moonbeam.
Oh, but he can't.
We're about to find out if you
can. Show me which muscle to tense barrel when
going. All right.
Get across.
Huh? Wild shape. Well, I am in wild
shape.
The blades
are floor to ceiling.
But like, it's where to get... Oh, I don't want panniers. I'm looking after... I'm sort of
babysitting. Immortal. Hamadal is the bigger problem. Panniers is immortal. We've got to get Hamadal through this room. Well, you do.
Yeah.
I did one.
Yeah. Like, with the blades, is there...
Will that force your hand?
Is there room for... I'm a giant eagle currently. Is there room for me to kind of like... through?
A giant eagle.
Yeah. I'm going to say the DC will be like 18. So a little easier, but not much easier. Because there's also crisscrossy scarves. This is...
Can't you be a fly?
Yeah, but it's leaving the other two. We can't just leave them there.
Okay.
Oh, what's Hamadal done?
Use your spells and powers. Use your elven magic.
He rolled an 11. So I'm going to say Hamadal pretty much like walks in and like trips and goes like, oh! And is kind of like teetering on the verge.
I grab him with my beak. I grab his the back of his shirt.
Yep.
And then I just pull him back. Oh God! What do I do? Everyone's left.
I'm looking at your you've got 30 spell cards there.
Yeah, but no, I don't. I didn't.
I'm sure this.
What was that one?
Spike growth.
You could entangle. What if you could entangle the?
You grow some spikes in the machinery.
Yeah.
Prudence.
Replace the scarf with spikes.
Yeah, Prudence, you're on it. I turn back into Druid, mm-hmm. Merylwen, and I would like to cast Entangle mm-hmm. around the scarf and to strengthen, to come up through the thing and strengthen the hold that the scarf has, because I'm really worried about it, like, cracking.
Nice. Yeah. All right. You do that as an eagle.
No, I've turned back into Merylwen.
Oh, I see, sorry, I missed
that. I can't do that as an eagle.
Okay, I was just picturing an eagle being like, bah! cool, okay, yeah, so Hamadal's kind of like, oh, did I?
So, yeah, I picked him back as an eagle, I turned into Merylwen and go...
Cool, yeah. It's not going to hold forever, but like I say, you're able to pick your way through.
Yeah.
And then... kind of like he's running away from like a plain sort of carpet bombing.
Mm.
Panniers is like, ah! And he kind of like runs his way through, and behind him is just a moonbeam he didn't know he could do. It's like freaming its way across the floor. Everyone's kind of on the other side like...
Yeah. Everyone remembers their first moonbeam.
the blades kind of like... I'm going to say that he cuts through enough of the vines and the scarf that all the blades are like...
Oh, no.
Thank God there's another way out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just as well.
Just watching the trap that you, in fairness to you, just got past, which is great news.
One of Percy's... school badges just like flutters into shock the remains of the scarf.
Prefect. And you're feeling pretty good about having made it across that room. That's the good news. The bad news is there's an ominous clanking noise coming from the next. What will it be? We'll find out next time on Everyone Goes to the Curse Hole.
Yay! Ominous clanking! Clank, clank, clank,
clank, clank. Five go mad in the curse hole.
Someone, as we recorded this, kept singing "Let's all go to the curse hole."
Let's all go to the curse hole. Let's all go to the curse hole. Let's all go to the curse hole. Get ourselves
some curse.
Uncursed.
Get ourselves uncursed. Yeah.
There you go.
So that is what I think of every time I think on this episode, and I do often.
I do. I just like the word curse hole.
Curse hole. Yeah.
The nautical shortening to curse hole.
It's fun to say, isn't it? It's fun to say, but not fun to be in.
Yeah. You know how Tolkien said that the most pleasing combination of words was cellar door?
Yes, I know that from Donnie Darko.
Okay, well, I think like the cellar door for the Skype generation is cursehole. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's make that a thing. Can we get it in the dictionary? Can we like lose the space in the middle?
Yeah, just, cursehole.
Yeah, unabridge it. Yeah. No, wait, not unabridge it. Like, contract it.
Contract it.
Yes.
Yeah, get at us, Websters.
Yeah, curse hole.
Assume that's how you add words to the dictionary.
Lobby, you get approached Websters.
By Webster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you can probably tweet at them and say, I've got a new word. Can it be in the dictionary?
A good new word.
What do you think of this one?
Yeah, a flat fee for every time someone uses it. Call it 10 cents.
Oh, you get like residuals.
Yeah, residual. If I'm inventing a word, I want residuals.
every time someone employs that word.
Yeah, right.
What a sweet deal. This was the first part of a dungeon session, dungeon episode, which I personally enjoy. Those kind of like little chunk-based dungeon crawls where you're like, here's a room, here's a puzzle, here's an obstacle, here is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Get on with it.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. How did it feel? I mean, this was a Corazon-centric session.
Yes.
What was on your mind? Take us inside the actor's studio.
Well, in Corazon's sort of backstory, he did a sort of bad thing to his crewmates. And the sort of arc I've always imagined for Corazon is starting out as a very selfish, very self-centered person who kind of forms a bond of friendship with the Oxventurers. And he's like, he comes to realize that he treated his old crew extremely poorly and he has to make amends. And it's a sort of like a literal journey through a dungeon, but it's also a metaphorical journey for Corazon. Whoa. As he looks back on the place that he was sort of 10 years ago. And it's a sort of a dungeon of the mind as he travels through and reaches his own treasure of growth and change.
Self-actualization.
Self-actualization,
whoa.
Yeah.
I'm blowing my mind here, man.
Yeah, right. It's very, very nice. Metaphorical.
Yeah, a metaphorical, but also a very literal dungeon with, you know, blade traps and such.
Yeah, well, that's the exciting, that's how you get them in the door. And then when they're already in to see the cool blade traps, then you're like, now, consider the themes.
Consider your crimes.
Yeah. Consider the melancholy regret. What about that? That's fun, isn't it?
Oh, I hate the melancholy regret. That's my least favourite dungeon trap.
Out of the wall springs regret. Some melancholy regret.
Oh, yeah.
At chest height.
It's almost as bad as the rolling boulder of that thing you said at a party that time and are still embarrassed about sometimes when you think about it late at night.
Yeah. Imagine that Indiana Jones scene, but he's running away from when someone said hi and he said hi back, but they were saying hi to the person behind him.
Oh, there's no running away from that. There's no dodging that. It's just rolling after him down a slope.
Yep.
Making him feel terrible.
Sorry, Harrison.
Oh, no, I don't like this dungeon of the mind.
it's fun. Nice to do some character work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, next week there'll be more of the dungeon of the mind and also dungeon of the real dungeon.
Yeah, the dual layer dungeon.
Now, do you remember what that we called the next episode?
Ooh, what did we call that? Hound, yes, I think I can get it.
It was something that's not remembering
no,
it.
No, something to do with caves. It was like cave.
It was.
Cave view.
Cavern. I think it was Cavern. Cavern a bad time? Cavern a terrible
cavern
time?
Cavern a bad time.
We should.
Cavern
is that what
day.
It's called? Cavern a bad day.
Cavern
okay.
A bad
right.
day.
Which is another immaculate pun, I think you'll find. Cavern a bad day.
It's all downhill from Indino Veritas. So.
That's true. That's true. I think we used up the last of the pun juice on Indino Veritas.
Yeah, really hit the overcharge button.
Speaking of Indino Veritas, I've got a few comments on last week's episode, which was Indino Veritas. Would you like to hear them?
I would love to, yes.
Okay. Dino is pronounced Dino in the name of the Flintstones pet,
yes.
Says Mike and Newby. So it works in the sense as a play, in that sense as a play on dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. So get off our case, everyone.
Angel Beat says we do say Dino in Dutch, so it does work. These podcasts remain such a nice weekly spot of wholesomeness and they come highly recommended. So,
yeah, so we're
see,
just trying to be inclusive to Dutch people.
And Flintstones.
And Flintstones fans.
Flintstones is,
yeah. So maybe check your privilege next time. And think about Dutch people and Flintstones fans.
Max says, it may be rare for Egbert to cast a spell, but when he does, it is consistently the source of an amazing bit. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
He uses them sparingly, but when he does, there's there's always something good. Lego Epic says, Zone of Truth can be effective when paired with torture. Oh, jeez.
Wow. Damn.
Zone of Truth compels truth, but not speech. Torture compels speech, but not truth. That is some scary ass... That stuff you're saying, Lego Epic.
It sounds like a war crimes trial.
Board.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
Sounds like you're defending yourself at some kind of terrible tribunal.
Yeah, right.
Not really Oxventure style, though, admits Lego Epic.
Yeah,
and I'm sure
did.
Egbert would object. So good. Yeah.
I'm glad you realised that.
Ian Green, however, says, loved the Zone of Truthing. I made a custom magic item for my group called Spin the Bottle of Truth or Dare that compels the person to answer the question, but also the target is chose at random.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're compelled to answer the question or to make out with the with the question asker.
They have to answer the question truthfully or make out with the person who owns the bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
I enjoy the idea of a randomly chosen target has to share a truth. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corey Ennis, meanwhile, says the lads drinking game is way better than the Zone of Truth. Now, this is a kind of a deep cut from an older session. Do you remember the one?
I do, yeah. There was a drinking game where everyone had to like shout a secret about themselves.
Yes. So that was from the episode named Ship Happens, if you're trying to look it up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Where we all went on a big party cruise.
Yes. And you chant, lads, lads. No, wait, how does it work? Everyone has to share a truth while chanting.
Yeah, it was like the tequila song or something, right?
Oh, okay, fine.
And you have to fill it in with a truth about yourself.
That's right. Corianis adds, burn the spell card, homebrew the spell to be Zone of Drunkenness, where the subject is immediately wasted and spills every bit of detail. But then that would be essentially a truth serum spell, which we don't have.
Yeah.
And it's perhaps too powerful. I mean, it would be very powerful.
It would, yeah, it would be. And it's sort of, you know, if you're a DM with a sort of elaborate plan that you're trying to unravel slowly, and then they're just like, well, just tell me what's going on. You're like, all right.
Fine. In the comments on Spotify also, No says, prudence is the relationship counsellor we all need. Love is an illusion for weak-minded people. I'll take that over live, laugh, love any day.
Wow, Prudence.
Also, I cannot wait for Deadlands.
Is Prudence okay?
She's fine. She's great. I think that's it. I think she just wants to share her wisdom with everyone else so they can be as happy and fulfilled as she is. Love is an illusion for weak-minded people.
Real little Wednesday Adams we've got here.
Well, she's having fun with it.
Yeah.
So good for her.
Good. And I'm glad you're excited for Deadlands as well.
Yes, we all are.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to people seeing everyone's characters. Do you want to drop any hints about the character you'll be playing, Jane? Any little nuggets for the listeners?
I have. I will say that I have a very, very fine waistcoat and arm garters.
Arm garters. You don't see arm garters much anymore, do you?
No.
Where do you even get arm garters?
You do on me. I had to buy it from an Etsy specialist who specializes in like old timey menswear.
Nice.
So,
can I get that link?
I'll send you a link. Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Sells all kinds of like antiquated underwears and accessories and
things.
Yeah, so it's fun, isn't it, putting together a little costume.
I thought everyone's costumes were great. Even Mike, I was impressed with.
You mean especially? Yeah.
Well, even Mike, you know.
Mike is looking very, very fetching.
Yeah, I thought he had a great outfit on. I think everyone's
share all of that with you.
I think everyone's gonna really like it.
Well, not to to show our hand too early, but I think we're looking at premiering Deadlands around July. Is that right?
Yeah, sometime in July. We still haven't
around the month of July
nailed the exact date, but
I think we'll start kind of start revealing a few bits and pieces later this month. So you haven't got too long to wait for perhaps some costume reveals and things like that.
That's gonna be great.
Looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to this weekend, which has come on astonishingly fast. I'm already booked in to go swimming again. I have to book at my local pool because it's so popular.
Because everyone gets 1 cubic foot of water to be in.
I mean, actually, it's pretty chill there. I think because they have bookings, it's pretty chill and relaxed. You know, there's not that many people in the pool at any one time. We're all just swimming up and down, doing our laps, and there's not a single deadly water slide to be found.
What's your stroke?
The one where you keep your head and hair above water because...
Okay, doggy paddle.
No, this one.
Breaststroke.
Is that breaststroke?
Yeah,
okay, fine. Yeah. I'm a very accomplished swimmer, as you can tell.
Nice.
I haven't got time to be drying my hair on a Saturday morning,
swimming cap.
No, I find them uncomfortable.
Oh, okay, fine.
I do have a little pair of goggles, though.
Mm.
Because it's fun to swim with your face underwater and see the bottom of the pool.
And like look at the secrets under there.
And look at the secrets at the bottom of the pool.
Yeah, what's down there? Could be anything. Yeah. Treasure?
Sharks. Yeah, exactly. You need to be able to see.
Exactly.
I've never grown out of the kind of childhood pleasure of like, ooh, I can see underwater.
Yeah.
So it's like a superpower.
Nice.
Anyway, this is in Wholesome Jane plans for the weekend. What's your weekend plan?
They open a new bouldering place near me. So I might go and check it out.
Look at us doing exercise.
I know.
Wholesome exercise.
I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet. I do kind of want to see that. And Renfield is on demand now.
So,
oh yeah,
I do want to watch. I do want to watch Renfield. I want to watch Nicolas Cage be a vampire.
I think that would pair nicely with. At the moment, I'm enjoying Dracula Daily, which is a kind of newsletter that sends you extracts. Well, not extracts. The entire text of the novel Dracula by Bram Stoker, but it sends you kind of diary entries and letters, you know, such as the novel is made up of, in real time. Mm-hmm. So like the day Jonathan sent this letter, you will receive this letter in your email inbox. The day Mina Harker like writes this diary entry, you'll get it in your inbox. And it's kind of on its second year now, as in like they've done one full cycle and now they're coming back around to doing another cycle. And
they're going through Dracula again a second time.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think it's just going to continue in perpetuity so you can kind of enjoy it annually. And I am. It's a great way to rediscover Dracula.
I have read Dracula a few times. I don't. Is it? It's entirely letters and diary entries.
Yes. Okay. I think. Is it? What's the word? An epistolatory?
Epistolatory. Yeah.
Novel. Yes. I believe it is. I believe it is written entirely in
that. I don't think there are any other. I mean, Frankenstein starts with that stuff, but it's not all that stuff. But
then it's a more conventional novel. Mm. But then wasn't there a time when all... Okay, this is getting a bit literary, but wasn't there a time when all novels were written like that? Like
maybe. Yeah, maybe that was the fashionable style.
Now, I say this as a person who has merely an English literature A level, but I feel like that form, the epistolatory, latery form of novel, which is made up of letters and diary entries, actually predates the modern novel. Am I wrong? I can see Andy Googling stuff. Sorry, if you've already tuned out, it's fine. This is the end of the podcast. You can go.
The first novel in English is usually credited to Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe, which was published in 1719.
And that's not diaries and such.
I don't think so. Well, maybe it is. Fine. Maybe it is. Maybe he's like, oh, I'm on an island. I don't know. This is not interesting to people who
are
listening.
This is not interesting. I don't even know if it'll make the cut. It's interesting to Andy.
I will be doing this weekend is discovering these facts.
Okay. If you happen to be a scholar of literature, let us know what's about the origins of the modern novel.
Well,
because we care.
The first novel here, 1,000 years ago, The Tale of Genji, was written by Murasaki Shikibu, a woman, 1,000 years ago. So take that, Daniel Defoe.
Okay, yeah. In your face.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we've all learned something here. I'm not sure I have, but maybe on re-listening to the podcast, I will extract some knowledge from it. Please drop us a comment in Spotify if you have anything to say. And even review us. 5 stars if you think we're worth it.
That would be great.
That would be lovely. On whatever platform you're listening on. Have yourselves a very nice weekend and come on back for the next cursed heavy episode of Oxventure Dungeons and Dragons.
See you then, folks. Don't get cursed.
Bye. Don't get cursed.
Don't.
Ready for a story you haven't heard?
Realms of peril and glory.
From one-shots to campaigns, indie games to established titles.
We are playing Liminal.
Cyborg.
Thirsty Sword Lesbians.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Agon.
13th Age.
Join Liz.
Laura.
Zach.
James.
Maddie.
Naomi.
And Pip.
Guys. Yay!
That was a delight.
And a rotating cast of incredible guests.
Hello, I'm Grant Howitt.
Jasper William Cartwright.
Nathan Blades.
Shamini Bundell.
As we weave thrilling new stories with gorgeous sound design and beautiful original music.
I rolled a natural 20!
Yes!
So, what are you waiting for? Grab your dice and go explore the realms of peril and glory.
Go to realmspod.com today or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.